You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Welcome, everybody, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine. We're recording live from the Catalyst University Studios. I'm here with Ron Kitchens. What's going on, man?
Hey, I am just embracing the day. I am so excited to be here today. Talk about measurements, which is something that a lot of people don't get excited about, but I am pumped to share this.
Yes, you are. And measurement is one of those things that everybody has on their mind and very few know how to do effectively, right?
It is. And it's one of those that I don't know in the future how organizations at any level are going to be able to excel if they don't focus on measurements. So I looked at the U.S. government's trademark site. We're working on a new book and looking at some terms that we may trademark as part of the book. And up popped a measurement wanting me to take a survey of the performance of the website for the U.S. Yeah. Government Trade and Patent Office.
Wow.
And if those folks are measuring the customer service of their website, it tells you that all of us that are a non-federal government, we better get on it.
Yeah, sure. Particularly if they're measuring trademark attempts, we can do it for the things we care about, which are much more important.
Absolutely.
So, Ron, this idea of measurement is just not an issue of the final score. There's so much more to measurement than that. What does measurement mean to you as a leader?
So, I think first thing we have to understand that measuring is important. It's a way of keeping score. All of us that ever played sports understand that we want to know the score. We want to know who won and lost. I can remember I coached Kelsey's soccer team when she was four, maybe five. I couldn't go beyond that. I didn't have the skills to coach beyond yeah. that.
I didn't but have it, the skills to play beyond that.
Yeah, no, that's so. And I can remember it was one of these leagues that, you know, you don't keep score. Every kid on that team knew whether we won or lost.
Sure.
There was never any indecision about whether we won or lost. But as coaches, we weren't supposed to talk about that. Well, as we grow older, we understand that people need to know what the score is. They need to know what those measures are. And as leaders, we have a responsibility to do that, but we also have a responsibility to set the platform. So too many times, particularly in business, we're talking about quarterly measurements. You live and die by the quarterly report. Well, I'm not sure that's really the value I want as a shareholder in a business. I'm a big fan of Costco. And one of the reasons I like Costco is I heard their CEO speak once, and he said, our goal isn't to make profit this quarter. Now, we have to be profitable if we want to grow and we want to take care of our employees and we want to pay them good wages. Our goal is 50 years from now to be a relevant, viable, successful company. Yeah. Now, there's a measure there, but he has set a platform. He has reset the point of connection to the point that everyone in that company knows what their goals are. They know they need to be profitable today, but they're not trying to maximize tenths of percents on a quarterly basis and burning people out. And I think as a leader, we have to set that. Now, as you know, we've got a great big scoreboard in our office.
Yeah.
It has 10-year goals on it. It has annual goals on it. So we believe in that and believe in measuring it. But, you know, one of the things I'd be interested in hearing from you, as is the point leader of the organization, I get to stand in front of that scoreboard and go, well, I hired you guys. I'm the boss here. So those are your numbers behind me. Tell me about them. It's easy for me to hold people accountable to that. Now, that's not how we operate, but it would be really easy for people to believe that. So let me ask you, from somebody who's a divisional point leader who has profit and loss responsibilities, who has people who are on your team that you were leading to leading organizational-wide on a number of things, what's your perspective of measures and how they help or hinder you to your performance and the organization's performance?
Yeah, I think measurement to me at its core really is about providing a space for people to run. I mean, if you think about it, by having a goal, by setting a goal and checking against it, it's really not then about, did you do it my way? It's, did you accomplish the goal with your unique talents and gifts? Did you get there? And so once the goal is set, when we know the end game, for team members, for team leaders, for divisional leaders, it just allows us more space to sprint. The difference is no measurement, and everything's left up to a whim or to the personality of the leader or to the
mood. Or you can never declare victory because you don't know where the finish line
That's
was.
That's exactly right. And so when I have a measurement, when I have a goal, when we know what the end game is and what we want to accomplish in that given year or quarter, then the responsibility on a leader like me is to just run as fast as I can and make sure the track is cleared for the team members who work with me, because we know what the end game is without it. We don't even know if we're running in the right direction.
No, I think that's dead on, but let me go forward. So it'd be easier for people to listen to say, well, Tim's obviously this great leader and he's driven, he's motivated, he owns his responsibilities. And everybody can't feel that way. So our scoreboard, which for the listeners out there, imagine Wrigley Field's scoreboard.
Yeah.
We kind of modeled around that. How does it affect the relationship between area leaders if somebody is thriving and somebody else is struggling? What are those conversations that are had amongst those leaders about where they're at?
Well, when there's a scoreboard and the team is constantly having conversations, we rise, we fall, we sink, we swim together. So when you think about it, if my colleague in a divisional leader position is not making it, right? They're not at their goal. The question is not, what the heck are you doing? The question is, what is it about our talents that we can bring to bear to help you? What is it we can do to walk with you? So having a scoreboard, having constant conversation about the score breeds a sense of togetherness and teamwork where it's about, how do I serve you, not how do I play got you, right? And it just removes that adversarial relationship about performance. And it brings and invites team members into a conversation where we're working together to reach the goal. Because if I reach my goal and you don't, we still lost. Because our goal is to hit every number on the scoreboard, not just most of them. And so there's a collective buy-in, and then there's this passion to want to help other people reach their goals, because we don't want any red arrows, right? And in our case, it's arrows. There's red arrows, there's yellow arrows, and there's green arrows. We want all green arrows at the end of the year. So me acting like my teammate has somehow dropped the ball and I haven't offered to help, I don't win in that. We all lose.
Well, talk about those conversations.
Yeah.
So as a team, we're together every 2 weeks in front of the scoreboard, talking about those kind of yellow and red arrows. What's your perception on the way those conversations go and how people listening can have those crucial conversations without feeling like you're being attacked? And there's a wanted poster tacked up on the wall with your team or your picture on it.
Part of it's maturity of the people you hire, right? That there is a level of maturity it takes to have those conversations. But the conversations—
Now, let's talk about maturity. You don't mean age.
No. I mean in terms of your approach to human beings.
Emotional intelligence.
That's exactly
right. Is how you're
meeting
that.
And so the goal when you're on a team and you're acting in an emotionally intelligent way is about building people up. You've said it 100 times on this podcast that our interaction should be to build people up. And so let's say a certain division is on a yellow arrow. I have been in those conversations where it's, all right, tell us where you are and tell us what you need from us to get that done. And inevitably, I find that I can help. I'll give you a perfect example. We've got a measurement about visits with companies. How many visits, how many times are you sitting down having conversations with companies about how they can grow in our region? Well, what I have found is that when that number isn't hitting, half of that is my fault. Because I've been talking to companies and I wasn't putting the numbers in, and I'm not even on the team, but I can help that team. And so I'm reminded through that conversation about measurement that I play a role in your destiny, in your success. And all of a sudden, when I put my numbers in and the other three or four people like myself who forgot that they had roles in that, you might look up and find that the number actually isn't yellow, it's actually green. But if we didn't have that conversation about how can I help or what do you need, I'll never understand the role I can play to help.
So our model is mutual and intentional accountability.
Correct.
There are those who believe the model of hire all kind of independent performers and keep them. And I worked for a guy one time who told me that his management style was to ensure mutual self-destruction and to foster behaviors that created maximum anxiety.
Yeah.
So he wanted staff to get up every day and compete with each other.
Sure.
And to create an anxiety that if you don't hear your numbers, that you're going to, what's the old Vince Lombardi line? If you're not fired with enthusiasm, you'll be fired with enthusiasm. And he would repeat that. And there was actually a motivational poster in the break room of this company that had that on there as if that motivated anybody to be awesome.
Right.
So tell me, and because you spend so much time inside of companies, coaching great leaders, coaching teams, and you see both of these practices.
Yes.
What's the response to the people who are working in that world of maximum anxiety?
Yeah, first of all, I would say that those leaders are counterfeit leaders and should be removed immediately. That's number one. I mean, there's no excuse for those types of environments. First of all, it's abusive in its nature and should not happen. But if you are in those situations and for whatever reason, you can't leave. When I talk to companies and sit with companies in those situations, I start to talk to the leadership teams and say that if the point leader can't get their act together, then it's really incumbent on the leaders to support one another. And the question becomes, what can I do to model the behavior I want to see? What can I do to support my teammates in the way I want to be supported? Because if you can't control it, it's a personal responsibility issue now. Are you on top of your measurements? Have you taken time to find out what the measurements are for your teammates? And then have you been humble and genuine enough to say, how can I help you? Because bad leaders, you can't change, you have to get rid of. People who act like that and create environments of fear, their day is coming. Your job is not to wait and see when it is.
Absolutely. That reminds me of Roy Spence, who's former professor and teacher and has been with us on a number of occasions. Roy wrote a book called The Faith of Texas. And in it, he begins at the opening page that when you look at the eight largest religions on the planet, the basic tenet of every one of those religions is do unto others as you do unto yourself.
Yep.
And we look at leadership, that's exactly the same tenet. If we had no other rule posted on the wall, it's that rule.
Yep.
And I think as we leave leaders today, we're going to encourage them to absolutely lift up people, invest in people, love people the way you wish the world would love you.
Yeah. And it applies to measurement, Ryan, right?
Yep.
You want to know the score. You want to know how you're performing. You want to know where you are. And so as leaders, we have to provide that for the people who work with us. I want to thank, Ryan, you for your insights. It's been fun chatting with you about measurement. It's one of those issues that touches leaders every day. And we hope that from this conversation, we've given you some tools and some thoughts to help you go always forward faster. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at Ron Kitchens.
Hey, thanks for listening today. I wanted to share with you about 269 Magazine. Really focuses on Southwest Michigan. It tells the story of leaders and businesses, philanthropy, quality of life, in hope that we can inspire readers to activate their participation in the community, in the region, to make the region the best place to live, work, play, and thrive. To catch a sneak peek or subscribe, go to 269mag.com. That's the numbers 269mag.com.